I need to write this fucking movie. Just The Little Mermaid 2016. And she's just like, I love everybody and I'm happy and I've got a great voice and I'm in love with my boyfriend. And just her life on like planet Earth now. And she works at a Subway.
I want to be a successful sandwich artist and sing my songs. That's it.
I want to be where the cheeses are. I want to feel, the meats dancing, folding them into the, what do you call it? Oh yeah. Bread.
No, you missed it. What are they called again? Oh, yeah, meat.
Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they spread ham all over the sun.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to Dave, Episode 7. This week, comedy great Dave Thomas.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Dave. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
And joining us on the show today from the Mr. BS Show, we have Ryan Danger Bunnell. Welcome, buddy.
Woo! Hi, everyone.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. I'm so excited.
And if you're not familiar with the Mr. BS Show, three jackasses joking around, making yucks, awesome show. Check it out. Boom.
Mic drop. I love it, man. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, guys. And we need to use that as our tagline. Three jackasses making yucks. I like that.
I mean, you see the shit that I've been tweeting out about this show. This idea is just dumb enough to work.
Well, it's getting progressively more positive, right? Because it was like the dumbest idea ever. It's like, this idea is dumb enough to work. Yeah. Eventually, it's just going to be like, Dave, yeah, it's fucking great.
The idea is you got to set the bar really low. So if anyone does come in and listen to it, they might go, hey, it wasn't that bad.
No, this is the best idea. I've been talking to people all week. I'm like, I'm going to be on the Dave podcast. And they're like, what? They talk about Dave's and then whatever they want. It's the greatest idea that anyone's ever come up with. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
There is a podcast that I think has a better idea. I just saw it on Twitter the other day. There's a podcast called Dad Wrote a Porno, where this guy's dad wrote like a porn like story. And this guy goes through and reads it with his friends and comments on it.
The show's phenomenal.
Is it?
It is. It's awesome.
I need to check it out. It seems like the craziest idea.
Yeah, because his dad writes in very dad-type language, and so he doesn't use sexy talk at all.
Yes. Here's what I was thinking the other day. So 50 Shades of Grey is essentially Twilight fan fiction, right? It's just sexy mm-hmm. Twilight fan fiction. Yeah. What if you took 50 Shades of Grey and tried to make vampire fan fiction about that? Like, let's put it back through the you know, like, when you go, like, from English to Chinese and then back to English, it's a little wonky.
I'm with you 100%, although I say we make it a kid's book.
Yes!
We make it about, like, yes. Turtles and raccoons and
50 Shades of Grey for kids. Fisher Price, my first bondage kit. The play school strap-on.
The Play-Doh dildo factory.
They kind of made that on accident. Did you see that? It was like a cake making thing, but they just made it was like a just a straight up like dick. It was just part of this Play-Doh toy set, but it looked like a dick, and it was bad enough that they recalled it.
No, I didn't see that at all.
Oh, you just got to Google Play-Doh dick. It's phenomenal. Have you seen the little girl making the Play-Doh dick? And her mom is like filming her, and she's like, what are you making? She's like, and it's a dick and balls. And she's like, it's a dolphin with wheels. And she's got straight up just a dick and balls. That one is definitely worth looking up. It's so good.
Man, how was your week?
I got attacked by a locust.
What?
I was driving in the desert, and the biggest, most disgusting locust flew into my window and almost caused me to crash my car. I had to pull over and do battle with it. I killed it. I had no idea what it was. It looked horrifying because its wings were kind of half out. It kind of looked like a prehistoric, like, butterfly monster. Yeah. It was pretty gross. And, like, I'm not super bug guy. Like, bugs kind of creep me out. Like, you know, maybe I don't sound like a man, but, like, yeah, bugs are gross. I don't like bugs. I was so proud when I killed it. Like, you know, when you're, like, I had to gut check, and I was like, I got to fucking kill this thing before it kills me. And I fought through my ickiness, and I managed to get my shoe off while driving, and I sent that thing to hell. Dude, it was so icky. Like, I had to crush him on my laptop bag, and I've got a new laptop bag.
Yeah, that's a birder.
I didn't know what it was. It was horrifying looking to me and had these, like, green wings, and I sent, like, pictures. I posted them on Twitter and was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, are there any, like, bug people out there that know what this is? And somebody was like, oh, it's a locust.
No, I didn't see that one, but just if I could put out one request, people on Twitter, please, no more surgery photos. I can't handle it.
Dude, ever. Never, ever.
If I like you and I'm following you, do me the favor. Give me, like, a warning. Give me, like, a heads-up tweet or text me or hit me up. Those surgery photos are just rough, man.
They're better than the diarrhea photos, though.
Oh, fuck you for introducing KFC bathroom to my life. You motherfucker. You don't want any of this.
Nope. No, I don't even want to talk about it on the show. Let's just move on.
We're not going to talk about you getting boxed by KFC. Ryan, buddy, how was your week?
Well, nothing too crazy. Just been working a ton at the new job. I did have a fun story selling marijuana that I thought was very interesting that I got a laugh at earlier that you guys might enjoy.
Right on.
So a guy walks into my store, and we're in a pretty nice establishment. And this guy walks in, and immediately I notice he's skinny as hell. And attached to his belt is a metal fork that's tethered. And I'm just fixated on this thing. I'm like, why on earth would you need this? Are you forgetting your fork? Or are you stabbing that many men in between things? That you're doing this guy.
I like him instantly already. That's a champion. I was a competitive eater.
Right? But as skinny as he is, I'm like, no, man, there's no way. So I'm like, there's got to be something off. And then I figure it out and I do the proper thing. I go, can I see your ID? And he hands me his ID and he's from Alabama. So that made a little more sense to me. So I was like, oh, okay. So he comes in and he just like, he somehow thinks Alabama.
I don't know how that made more sense elite to you. Like,
in Colorado, people just don't walk around with forks attached to themselves. There had to be some explanation to why. And as soon as I saw Alabama, it just made more sense. It just felt right. I'm like, oh, somebody from Alabama would have a fork attached to them. Like,
I still don't get the connection, but I'll go with you, man.
Okay. So we're creating a weird stereotype here. Just like, Alabama people are just resourceful. Like, they're always ready to get down on some chili, or like, I don't know what we're saying.
Exactly. See, I still feel like the spork would have been a little better attachment there. He would have been a better idea for resourcefulness. That's why the fork really bugs me. Because I'm like, it was either to eat or stab. A spork would have made me feel like you're really trying to multi-tool this thing here. But
that's a really good point.
And then he comes in. He somehow thinks that Alabama marijuana prices have translated to the legal marijuana industry. So he's asking for concentrated marijuana. He thinks somehow he can get out of there for that for like $20. And that you can't find that anywhere. I'm just trying to put that in legal terms. Like, normally it's like $40. And if you get and find it on sale, it's like $35. Okay. He's thinking he can get $20.
So you're talking about like walking into the Bunny Ranch in Vegas and looking for a $10 hand job. Like,
exactly.
Like paying crack hooker prices for premium quality hookers.
Exactly. And I'm just like, and then he goes, well, maybe can I get an ounce of weed? And I'm like, on what drug can you get an ounce of weed for $20? Like, I've heard of a lot of different places where you can buy marijuana, but no place are you getting that. Sir, no, I can't help you with that help. And then, I tried to help him as best he could, and he eventually left, but afterwards I was just like, that might be the craziest customer I've ever seen in any job industry in my entire life.
like working at a weed store, you're definitely going to have the like weirder customers for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. I had somebody come in and he openly admitted to me he's a tripping acid. I was just like, oh, thanks.
Like, yeah. Are you aware that one's still illegal, bro?
Right. We're not selling that. Because he even, like, apparently previously had come in asking for it. And he goes, well, then what are you guys doing here? Yeah, you get some interesting. You get to see everybody from across the country, all walks of life, and the highs and the lows. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
My favorite is like the head shops where you're not allowed to say certain words. Like I remember being a teenager and buying a bong and getting thrown out of a shop because you have to call it a water pipe and you've got all this slang, you know? And I was like, yeah, let me take a look at that bong. And he's like, nope, you got to go. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. That's never fun. I love just being able to go, would you like marijuana? It's very nice.
Wow. Give me some other terms. Like that's fascinating. Water pipe. What else you got? Like are rolling papers just rolling papers?
Yeah, papers, bongs,
yeah,
pipes, needles, nails.
Needles?
That's for the concentrates and stuff. Oh my gosh, that's all the stuff I've learned about. Holy cow, the different things you have to do for some of this concentrated marijuana. Like you have to heat up a torch and stuff, and depending on what type it is, you have to heat it up on a needle or a nail and on a specialized dab rig. Or it depends on the unit you have. But it basically, you have to have a superheated temperature to get this to vaporize. You can't actually burn it with like a match. If you do, it won't work. You won't get high. Oh, okay. But you do this, like a basic, we always tell people a rice grain size will last a 4-hour high instead of a bowl of marijuana, which would last a rookie maybe an hour and a half high.
But, like, what about hash? Like, how different... Like, I haven't been a weed smoker in forever. So, like, hash was, like, you know, the strongest shit back when I smoked weed.
Yeah.
There wasn't this concentrate. Isn't it essentially the same thing? Just
it's different forms of concentration and different ways to get it more pure. Hash is not that pure depending on how you do it. That's the big thing. And hash is an easy way for most people to produce a concentrate. The other ways are much more difficult.
It's gnarly to me. Like at some point where you're like, oh, you need the super duper concentrated THC. Like, wouldn't you rather try heroin? Like how strong do you need it to be?
I'll say this. If it's keeping the people off some of the other drugs that are out there, I'm okay with it.
You know, just jumping in real quick. I'm so hardcore. Sometimes I'll do my Flintstones chewable. No water.
Nice.
Just snort it, crushed him and snorting him. I have probably crushed and snorted every prescription pill that has ever been prescribed to me. And that's probably illegal, but I've always just been curious. So it's like, oh, Vicodin, let's give this a shot. Just like.
Yeah, now I got to ask, have you done the shoving it up your butt?
Oh, man, I put, like, everything up my butt. Like, if it's in my house, it's been in my butt. No.
I'm not coming over for dinner, man.
Oh, and we're back to the fork.
That's where that guy's brilliant. He brings his own fork.
Nice, that's why. He's got a brother that's got an ass fetish.
Just anything cylindrical. Anything like pencils, chopsticks, anything like that. When I'm coming over to your place, I'm bringing that with me.
Microphones.
All that. Microphones, whatever. All that kind of stuff.
Dude, I got a podcast idea.
All right. What do you got?
Dude puts a microphone up his ass and just goes about his daily business. Podcast it. The Ass Cast.
Wow. I would listen to that.
I would listen to one of them for sure.
Yeah.
I'd check it out. Like, it's pretty like high concept, right?
Well, I'll give you a sample of that show.
You heard it here first. The first episode of AskCast.
Oh, my God. All right. What do you guys say we get into some Dave news?
Yes.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave. That's his name, Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
Famous Dave's founder opened a new eatery in Hudson. The founder of Famous Dave's, soon to be sponsor of our show, or Have we already been saying they are?
As they should be.
So Dave Anderson, who started Famous Dave's, he opened a sort of fast casual barbecue concept called Jimmy's Old Southern Barbecue, and it's in Hudson, Wisconsin. And hats off to him. I love Famous Dave's. One day they will be the sponsors of our program. But yeah, he's opened a couple of locations. He actually left Famous Dave's for a while, founded Jimmy's Barbecue with the smaller, more casual type of thing, and then came back to Famous Dave's. So now he's doing both of them. But yeah, hats off to Dave Anderson.
Yeah, I saw that too. And he has a different recipe for the other place, not Dave's Famous. What's the other one called again?
Jimmy's, I just lost it. Jimmy's Old Southern Barbecue.
Right. Who's Jimmy?
Jimmy is actually his dad, I believe. The restaurant's name is an ode to Anderson's father, who taught Anderson the ropes in Southern barbecue.
Oh, cool. Okay, right on. Nice. We got to go. I've still never been to Famous Dave, so we got to go.
But I got to say, a barbecue Jimmy just sounds like something you don't want to happen to your penis.
No. I've been watching too much Game of Thrones. No, thank you.
I got a news story. This one comes to us from CNBC.com. Dave & Buster's edges higher after beating the street. Dave & Buster's Entertainment shares jumped more than 8% Wednesday after the company reported better-than-expected quarterly results. Dave & Buster's, which owns and operates entertainment and dining venues, also announced the repurchase of up to $100 million in common stock. So go get it, man! Sounds like a hot tip. There's your Dave hot tip for the week.
Dude, how bad is your life if you have to, like, write stock tip news headlines? How do they come up with that shit?
You know, it's like the news wonks who just enjoy that kind of stuff. Which, by the way, have you noticed how hot newscasters have gotten lately?
Yes. I have stopped watching the news. Like, I just decided there's enough shit in my life to be terrified about without the news.
Buddy, you're missing out. Morning news is boobs galore here in L.A. Oh, it's some good stuff, man. Seriously. Every TV show, it started like a few years back with, I think, Fox News. They had a couple of attractive ladies giving the news. But this being LA, they've just gone all out.
But there's actual porn now. I'm never more than a few, like, seconds away from, like, I am like Quick Draw McGraw with a porn device. I can reach into my pocket, boom, I'm looking at porn. Like, if you told me find porn, it would probably be under 30 seconds and I'd be watching porn. Like, can't the news just be the news now?
No, I'm down with this.
I mean, there's nothing for the ladies or for gay dudes either. Like, how come there's not, like a hot dude showing a little bit of neck when he reads the news?
You know, that's not my battle to fight. I'll support it if someone wants to lead that charge up the hill. I'll probably get behind and help, but, you know, I'm just going to kind of sit back here on the sofa and watch old Chesty McGee deliver my weather.
It's just going to get worse and worse. Like, in 10 years, it's going to be a topless chick, and behind her on the green screen is just going to be a projected image of an erect penis that's just, like, spewing advertisements. Just it'll be just the advertising penis, and it'll just ejaculate advertisements for local establishments, just like out of the tip. Eat at Wendy's. David Buster's.
Sit and sleep.
You're killing me, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I'm down for your advertising penis, just as long as the scrotums inflate right before the news comes out, and then it deflates as the news comes out.
Yes, it's the dong of capitalism.
Oh my god.
I don't like it one bit. I mean, I want like an old British man that looks like a foot reading the news.
Nah, who wants to look at a foot in the morning?
It's an encouragement up the ass to get moving. All right, I can't keep looking at this. I got to get going.
Yes.
What do the anchors look like out in Denver?
There are some that are attractive, but you're right. I've seen some of this national stuff occasionally, and I just saw all these people. I'm like, holy shit. These were not the news anchors when I was growing up. They're ugly as hell.
Yeah.
This isn't fair.
Yeah, not that they were ugly, but they were just, you know, pretty ladies. You know, right. Decent-looking ladies. I mean, I have nothing against, say, Connie Chung or Diane Sawyer. They were, you know, right. They were lookers. But
right. Dude, I met Christine Devine. Yeah.
She's a pretty lady. But she ain't got nothing on Alita Loreska. Look it up. Look it up. I swear to God, she has a spread in FHM.
I have no idea how to spell this. I'm looking it up now on my porn Elita device.
E-L-I-T-A. Loresca. L-O-R-E-S-C-A.
All right. What the fuck, the news? I'm looking at this FHM spread. Like, what the fuck?
And you know what? But just so I don't seem like a 100% pig sexist, sure. Let's see a little bit of dong in there, too. Let's see some dudes. I want some beefcake. Okay. Now I'm going to lead that charge just because I want to prove that I'm not sexist. I want some beefcake. All right. Let's get on to your next story.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers dismiss possible Dave Grohl and Axl Rose collaborations. Speaking in a video interview backstage of a German radio station, Anthony Kiedis was asked if he would consider working with Dave Grohl in the future, and he just was like, not going to happen. And they asked him about collaborating with Axl, and Chad Smith, the drummer, just said, I love Guns N' Roses, but he seems a little difficult. Understatement of the year, by the way. So they've got a new album coming out, The Getaway, and what I thought was interesting is Flea was just saying that basically modern rock is dead. And he said they're heading into a new era, and they're near the end of it, and they're just kind of wrapping it up. I don't know. Is he right?
Yeah.
Yeah, modern rock is dead, and the Chili Peppers, I think they're right to wrap it up. I love me some Chili Peppers, but the last three albums have pretty much sound like they came from the same session, and they're not leading the charge for modern rock. Their stuff can be played on easy listening.
That's a really good point. Maybe modern rock is just dead for them.
Breaks my heart. I love the Chili Peppers, and I'll probably check out whatever solo projects they all pursue, but unless they can evolve, I think it's they're making a good call to hang up the hat, the same way that REM did 10 years ago.
Well, I think at a certain point you're just doing fan service, right? So I don't think there's a whole lot I could be wrong, but I don't think there's a whole lot of young kids that are stoked for the new Bob Dylan album, right? Yeah. At a certain point, he's just making albums for Bob Dylan fans. The Chili Peppers are making albums for Chili Peppers fans.
It seems like a lot of their peers have moved on to other roles. You know, you got guys like Danny Elfman, who has gone on to film scoring, and you got guys like Johnny Rotten, who hosts a radio show. Like, it seems like about time for those guys, or even Henry Rollins has kind of moved on and branched out and done different things.
Yeah, he's more of a writer now, and yeah.
Yeah, because you can't stay angry and young forever. You know, you mellow out as you get older, and it kind of, you know, you turn from angry young man into grumpy old man who wants to listen to that shit.
Right. Or, yeah, I mean, there's people who can continue to make music and stay relevant, but I think they have to sort of escape that rock and roll, like, trappings. Like, especially, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers sort of having, like, a punk roots, right? Yeah. So when you're, like, a punk rock kid, at some point you can't be a punk rock kid. It's hard to say fuck the establishment when you got a million in the bank and no worries, right? Or, you know, it's like Green Day. Green Day kind of bothers me where it's like, we're punk rock and shit. And, like, not really, dude. Like, at some point, doesn't your music need to change to reflect the life that you lead? Shouldn't at a certain point the lyrics change to reflect that, oh, stuff's okay, and maybe capitalism isn't so bad because we're crushing it?
Right, and Broadway plays and stuff, you know, is real, you know, anti-establishment.
Right, what the hell? An anti-establishment Broadway play.
Yep. Yeah, but that's kind of like, you know, I was touching on that before. As a punk band gets older, at a certain point, they start looking at other ways to express their creativity that suits their age. And I think, you know, the people that I've cited before have done it gracefully. If the Red Hot Chili Peppers were bringing something new to the table, and maybe this album will be that, but unless they're bringing something new to the table, I'll buy it, I'll enjoy it. But I in my mind, they've kind of been singing their swan song for about 10 years now.
Or 20.
Nah, come on, man. 20 years, you think so? That far?
I don't know.
At least 15.
Yeah, yeah. Aww. Yeah. I don't know. Hats off to those guys. I don't want to sound grumpy or like I'm shitting on the Chili Peppers.
Oh, God, love the love the Chili Peppers. But
fuck Green Day, like, super hard.
I enjoy the Chili Peppers, but I definitely have to agree, fuck Green Day. And I'm more upset because I actually paid money to go see the fucking Broadway play. Yeah, wasn't real happy about that. So, because all it is, oh, just your songs again. Oh, You didn't do anything else? Oh, okay. Thanks.
My next news story. Okay, final news story comes from the HuffPo Canada. This is an article written by David Leonhardt. Are you ready for the American invasion? So basically, I read this article, and the gist of it is that Canada's getting ready for the huge influx of Americans who are going to bail to Canada, depending on who wins the election. It says, the interesting piece that I picked up from this article was 34% of Americans say that they will leave if Trump is elected president. 15% of Americans say they'll leave if Hillary is elected president.
But they always do, and then they never do, you know?
Right. So that's what, you know, the article was kind of tongue-in-cheek. But here are some interesting tidbits that I picked up. Some of the pros and cons of moving to Canada. Pros. Maple syrup. National
Poutine.
Health. Poutine was on the list.
Yeah.
The people there are really nice. They also have national health care. And the work-to-life balance is awesome. Where 11.3% of Americans say they have a 50-plus-hour work week over there. 3.9%.
Wow.
Those are the pros and the cons of moving to Canada.
That's a con. That means they're a bunch of lazy bums. Fuck you, Canada. Get to work.
And the cons are cold weather. The taxes are a lot higher than they are here in the U.S. And no NBA or NFL.
I don't care. I could let those things go.
No, I take that back. They got the Toronto Raptors, don't they?
Yep.
Okay, so they got NBA, but it's not a big sport. Like, the big sport is hockey, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and they've got the CFL, you know, like John Candy owned the Argos. And
all right.
And if you need to, you can root for, you know, Buffalo if you have to.
Yeah, but the point is that, you know, sports aren't that big of a deal except for hockey. So
see, the thing is, though, with any of these situations, the people that are like, well, Trump won or, well, Hillary won, I'm out of here. You're not getting a quality immigrant in that situation. You're getting a dummy, paranoid whack job, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Paranoid dummy whack job here, I'm taking some personal offense here.
Are we going to lose you to Canada?
There's a chance. Yeah.
Really? But
you know, listen, if you hear the pros and cons, it's just like living in Colorado, except it will be Trump free. So, yeah. I have some backup plans if Trump wins.
Do you
it's
really?
It's not going to be that bad.
Yeah. Trump scares the shit out of me. I'm just not going to lie to you. That scares the hell out of me.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how serious would you consider moving to Canada?
7 or 8.
Wow, dude, really?
Oh.
Seriously, I'm scared. I'm scared for the first time in my adult life. Like, hold on, I wasn't scared with Bush. It depends on my alliance. I have never been scared with a candidate up until this one.
No need to be scared.
No.
Because the president doesn't have any power. It's an illusion.
I know that the checks and balances, but my concern is somehow Trump will talk his way out of checks and balances, and I don't know. I know it's wrong, it's fable, but and I don't know.
I'm scared. The power of the presidency is 100% illusion. Look how much Obama was able to get done in his 8 years. Virtually very little. You got nothing to get worried about because the American people will make sure that he'll be counterbalanced. And for that matter, half the Republicans don't like him anyway. So even if he does get a Republican House and Senate, they're still not going to go along with him because they don't like him.
Yeah, that's true. No, you are absolutely correct. No. You are right. Yeah. I'm scared. I'm alone and scared.
Don't be scared.
Here's my question, Ryan.
Yeah.
Why don't you want to make America great again?
Because I like, you know, other races and cultures. I have better chances of getting places in Ireland. I don't even want to go there. I want to go to Canada so I have a better chance of coming back and making sure things are okay.
Where would you go? Like, what's your number one choice for a country that you would go to if, say, you had to be like, well, that's America had a good run. Time to go.
And if you say Thailand, I'm going to assume you're into ladyboys.
No. I got to go Ireland. It's native roots. I like cold. I like rainy. I can drink if I need to.
So you're saying you're an alcoholic.
Well, former. Now I'm a pothead. You know. But if I had to dream place that wasn't America and wasn't where I am right now, yeah, that'd be it.
Oh, see?
I mean, I wouldn't leave because I love this country and I want to. I'm not a political guy at all. I had to live in a different country other than America, probably the UK.
Right on. I'll meet you there, buddy. We'll raise a pint.
I mean, no offense to Canada, but I've said some offensive stuff about them on a couple of podcasts, and I'm not sure that all of them get that I'm joking. It's a whole thing. I got a bunch of internet hate for an episode of Popcorn with Candy.
Okay.
Canadian romance isn't the sound of people fighting. It's over, guys. I'm sorry. I take it back.
That's you're so that guy. He's sorry. Forgive him.
Yeah. Just go Argos. Let's move on with our lives. We've got no beef, Canada.
Wait, you did what to who for how many Oreos, Ray?
I sold an eighth of weed for two Oreos and a cupcake.
Oh, did you get fired?
Promoted.
Wow.
That's fucking amazing.
All right, folks. Well, I am Matt Siebert.
I'm Ryan Bunnell.
I'm Midnight Smoke.
And we are the Mr. BS Show. We're a little show spread around the country.
We're three angry friends who are trying to take over the world. But we don't do it successfully too often, so we just try to make everybody laugh. But I don't do that too often either, so... Fuck you, Matt.
So you guys can find us at the High Altitude Pod Network, which is at thehighaltpod.net.
Stitcher, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Damn right.
Thanks, guys, and come check us out.
It's 7:38. Shut up, everyone.
Shut up. Woo!
This is Leo.
This is Kitty.
This is Fez.
This is Jackie.
This is Cobra. What's up?
And Midgey.
We are Afterburn 739 Podcast coming to you from Skrish Bar.
Tune in every week and hear us talk about anything and everything. We are not politically correct.
We are certainly not well informed.
Sometimes we will make shit up.
But we will make you laugh.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Afterburn739.com.
And Twitter and Afterburn739.
What's Stitcher?
Hello, Kitty.
Welcome to the party.
My jingle.
And you never know who might turn up in Skrish Bar in the Turkey Bucket Gallery.
I quit.
Let's get into our feature, Dave.
All right, let's go. Okay, so we are going to talk about a very well-respected Dave this episode. We're talking about Dave Thomas, thanks to the suggestion of our guest, Ryan. Buddy, what tell me about your love affair with Dave.
So
that's a weird way to put it, dude.
it's a love affair. He's not wrong. I wrote high school papers about this guy and his movie theories at points. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I grew up, I mean, I always had a feeling for comedy and Canadian things and Mike Myers and I don't know. And then Rick Moranis and Ghostbusters. I loved him growing up. And then later on in life, a buddy of mine told me, he goes, "So you like Rick Moranis?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Did you know SCTV?" And I go, "No." He goes, "So you don't know Strange Brew?" And I go, "What the hell are you talking about?" And he put the movie on me and I laughed. I mean, it might have been a few drinks in, but I laughed my ass off and I love that movie. And I watched the movie start to finish 50 times over, could quote it. I had it as my answering machine for years at points, you know, different quotes from the movie.
Yeah.
And Dave Thomas, I always was just like, you know, I thought he was never got the respect he deserved. You know, it was deadpan humor better than just about anybody. And I love the guy. Yeah.
I like agree. You, underrated is the theme for this guy's like entire career. Like in researching this, I was scrolling through, you know, movies he was in and stuff he had done, and I didn't understand like why did I've always seen this guy's like a legend. He's one of the greats. If you were on SCTV, I love you and you're one of the best people and you're my favorite, you know? So scrolling through his like list of credits on IMDb, I'm like, he never, I don't know that he really had a time to shine. I don't think he's been in as much stuff as he should be in.
Agreed.
I think he's phenomenal in what he's in. And I mean, I really want to make the point clear that I love this guy. I think he's fantastic. But it's a bummer to me that there's no Dave Thomas vehicle, you know, other than Strange Brew. There's no, where's the Dave Thomas movie? Like, I know he was like, what, in Beethoven 12 or whatever, but there's, where's he at?
I think he had, you know, he had Michael Myers, you know, syndrome, and he went, wow, I'm making a bunch of crap. Maybe I should step away. And then, you know what the Adam Sandler should have done. You know, stop making out crap and piddling out the shit. And maybe, I don't know. That's my theory. I think he invested wise enough. He's like, I'm just going to enjoy my life. And, you know, instead of being in shit movies all the time, I'm going to wait for the project that's right for me. I'm hoping. That's my hope. But if not, but you're right. There should have been something. There were so many different things. I mean, I don't know. I always loved him in his Simpsons episode of his Rex Banner. That's one of my favorite episodes. And I didn't know it was him growing up. And then I listened to that episode and I was like, oh my God, that's him. That's great.
Dude, I didn't know that until doing research for this. And I was like, holy shit, he's Rex Banner. That's fantastic.
I don't know what it was. I don't know why he didn't. I don't know if he got spurned because of Strange Brew, because he didn't get to do his sequel. I don't know what happened.
I'm not a huge Strange Brew fan. Like, I'm going to get shit for it. I think it's okay.
That's fair.
You know, it's okay.
I watched Strange Brew for the first time today.
Wow.
And I was ready for it. And I think had I seen it in the 80s when the bar was set around Blues Brothers and The Man with Two Brains, I would have laughed my ass off. But I think comedy has evolved. I don't know if the movie necessarily holds up, but it is 100% definitely the father or grandfather of Wayne's World.
Yeah.
It's a parody. It's them taking the piss out of the Canadian government.
Right. You want to explain how Doug and Bob McKenzie came about?
Apparently, you know, they have the Canadian content, which people bitch about, but I think it's a good rule. So essentially, Canadian radio and Canadian TV must have Canadian-generated content on it. So essentially, they were saying, we have a cultural heritage, and we want to maintain that heritage and not just become Americans. So much, you know, this percentage of, I don't know exactly, but a percentage of the music on the radio and a percentage of the television needs to be Canadian. And in response to that, Rick Moranis and Dave decided to do these Hoser characters and just be over the top Canadian, like, oh, look at how Canadian this shit is, which is phenomenal. But overall, I think it's kind of a neat policy that Canada has.
I watched the documentary earlier today, set in the time when it just came out, and it was like at its heyday, and people were going crazy for Doug and Bob McKenzie. It was like a Canadian, like 20-minute documentary about Doug and Bob. Insane.
Right. And like, they would line the streets for these people. They threw parades for them. I mean, it was nuts. And all because you're making fun of Canada, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a little bit of making fun of and then also taking a lot of pride in it. And by the way, Doug and Bob, they were my first comedy album, The Great White North.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember just listening to that cassette over and over again. And you got a real treat when you put that cassette in your Walkman. And you had one coming out of the left ear and then another one coming out of the right ear.
Slow down, Grandpa.
in this really cool format called stereo. Oh, it was amazing.
Ooh, yeah.
My introduction to to Bob and Doug was Dr. Demento. Mm. And their the 12 Days of Christmas song.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You start. Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks and a beer. Okay, good. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toast, two turtlenecks and a beer. Okay, that should be more there, right? Where? On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
Beautiful. Isn't it the best?
That is a Christmas classic.
Love that.
I do so love that.
The really banter do. Between the two is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, oh, by the way, something else that I discovered, I had no idea all of those were improv. All the Doug and Bob stuff on SCTV, 100% improv.
That's nuts. That's
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Those guys are like a cut above, because all of that stuff was improv. You know, like John Candy was a dude who like refuse to remember lines and would just show up and figure it out, you know?
Right? I can be drunk and do this. Yeah, come on.
I don't know how drunk he was. I mean, he was you know, I'm sure he had his fair
share.
Well,
towards the end.
So let me ask you guys this. In doing your research, did you find out, are they the originators of the phrase hoser?
I didn't find that out at all.
Like,
I wouldn't think so. I would imagine you would have to know those dudes to play those dudes.
No, I'm saying, did they coin the phrase? You know, like, or at the very least, they popularized it the same way that Wayne and Garth popularized swing. But did these guys take off, eh? And, you know, their catchphrases, were those Canadian phrases that just popularized, or did they make those up?
I think they had to be Canadian phrases.
All right. I would love to know that. I tried to find that, and I couldn't. Hosehead. Like, did they make that up?
I remember this.
I've got it.
Oh, you got it? Oh, what does it say? Because I think it's amazing that it's still today. Kevin Smith has a movie coming out called Yoga Hosers.
The Oxford English Dictionary entry for hosers cites the first written example as a 1981 article in the Toronto Star about the Mackenzie characters, in which Moranis said, "A hoser is what you call your brother when your folks won't let you swear." Beyond this, the etymology of the word is hard to trace, with informal origins coming from different folk traditions and Canadian history.
I'll give it to him. I think
the most prominent unofficial derivation comes from pond hockey. The losing team, when playing pond hockey, would have to hose down the ice with water afterwards, making it smooth again, right?
Right.
So hoser's etymology is a combination of a hose and a loser contracted to make the hoser. So the losing team were hosers. They had to hose down the pond.
Interesting. Okay. I'm still going to give it to them.
They definitely popularized it, if not, but I have a feeling they were Canadian sayings. And I have a feeling those characters come from life where those are dudes, you know? Like, you can go to a liquor store and you will see Jay and Silent Bob there. Those dudes exist, and they sell weed outside of liquor stores.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bob and Doug had to be drawn from life because they're so real.
Yeah, yeah. I got to give it to Bob and Doug because they were my earliest exposures to Canadians back in the 80s. And I got to, like, but for people to have the proper perspective of how huge these guys were, the same way in the 90s, everyone kind of was doing the Austin Powers, yeah, baby, and all that kind of stuff. In the same way that in the 2000s, people were doing all the Borat impressions. Man, this was them in the 80s. They were so huge, you could not go around without people saying, take off, A, or you big hoser. Like, that was just the thing.
Dude, and then Wayne's World ruined part of my childhood. I fucking hate Wayne's World quotes so much.
Nope.
Don't say shwing to me. Get out of here. Like fuck that movie because of that. Because it caught fire on the schoolyard, and then everybody was just like, yeah, right. Like,
we're not worthy.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Party on, Wayne.
Yeah,
party on,
Garth. Somebody says something that you don't like, and you say, yeah, right, that's not hilarious, that's bullshit, and you need to take your fucking clown shoes ass comedy and go the fuck home with it. It's stupid. Go home. You're not funny because you watched a movie. Fuck you. I hate you. Like, those kids.
Yeah, and monkeys will fly out of my butt.
You know what I'm talking about, though. Everybody caught, like, Wayne's World fever, and, like, my dad would be like, swing, like, see, you know, like, fuck you. That's not funny. I'm done. I hate it. Yeah, I've had, like, way too many years of Wayne's World quotes, and fuck you if you think about tweeting me Wayne's World quotes after hearing this episode. I will fucking block you.
Hold on. Tweet me the Wayne's World quotes, and I'll retweet them and favorite them. So, we're good.
I had no idea I was this passionate about this.
My wife.
See, Borat, I'll quote all day, though.
That was fucking, like, hypocrite.
That was like a fucking raw, like, Dave confession moment.
Buddy, I will go with you on that exact same confession, although I'm going to Mad Lib it and change Wayne's World to Borat. I've had an assful of my wife just fucking.
So here's where we're at with it, guys. Try and keep track, all right? You got a Strange Brew quote. That's going to the Green Korean. You got a Borat quote? Bring it to me at Octopus Caveman. You got a Wayne's World quote? Don't you fucking bring that to my house. That's going to Ryan.
At Potato Punches 71. Send it to me.
But yeah, these guys were a cultural phenomena. So Dave Thomas, man, he wasn't necessarily in the limelight, but the guy stayed very busy. He became a businessman. He started
a burger chain.
He started making square hamburgers, and he's doing okay. He started an animation company. He's been nonstop with voiceover work. He's been on Family Guy. He's been on Animaniacs. He's been on King of the Hill. Like, he's done a whole Justice League. Like, the guy has nonstop worked since the 80s.
Here's an embarrassing place that I know him from, but I was a big Grace Under Fire fan as a kid.
I never saw the show.
I'm so glad you agree with me, Ryan. I thought that was an embarrassing thing, but it just happened to be at like the right time of day. It was like right when you get home from school and right before the like cool kid stuff starts. There was an episode of Grace Under Fire, and he was Russell.
Yep.
And he was fantastic.
It was so good. No, I love that show too. You're right. And if it was the wrong other time, I probably wouldn't have watched it, and I probably wouldn't have caught it and had no idea who he was, but I loved that show.
It's kind of like she's a single recovering alcoholic, which is like crazy for that time of it was like the early 90s.
Yeah, like 94, I think.
It was kind of like a more real Andy Griffith show, right? So it was like Southerners on TV, but not being stupid Southerners. Like Andy Griffith was the first show to be like, here's Southerners, and they're smart, and they're funny, and here's the culture, and here it is, right? This was a show where it was like, here's Southerners, and again, they're not stupid, they're not like, you know? They're not Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel, they have problems, I love the fact that she sort of took this Andy Griffith model and did a female version of it, but, you know, it's not Dave Butler, so I guess, you know, fuck you, Brett Butler, but Dave was the shit on your show.
Why do we have to hate Brett Butler?
Did you guys ever see the Red Green Show?
Yes.
No. I did too. I wasn't sure if it was a local thing because it would come on PBS at like 3 o'clock in the morning where I'm at. And it was always bizarre, sometimes not very funny at all, sometimes hilariously funny, but it was always like a weird experience. It's one of those like great late night, I'm stoned and watching TV movie or TV shows. We're just like, what the fuck is this? And then something weird happens. You're like, oh, that's odd. Or that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
It's essentially just a dude hosting a talk show from a fishing lodge. And it's got so much canned laughter in it. It's awful. But the fact that Dave Thomas did those is phenomenal to me. Was that Canadian content?
Oh, yeah. Had been. I believe. Yeah, if I remember right, it was. Had to have been. And all I can know. The one thing I always remember from that show is duct tape. That's the one thing I always remember from that damn show is his obsession with duct tape.
Dude, duct tape was like a character in that show. Like in Married with Children, you would have Kelly Bundy walk through the door and it'd be like, woo, right?
Yep.
On that show, it was duct tape. Red Green would talk about duct tape and it would be like, woo. Be like, the door's broken. Got to get my duct tape. Woo. Yeah. Exactly. What a weird show. I didn't see the ones with Dave on them, but I'm blown away that I was doing research for this. And it's like, yeah, that's a good fit. I could see Dave doing like a great guest on this show.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he did on that, but yeah, that's. I think he did anything Canadian just to promote the country. I really did love that country. See, we love Canada.
We love Canada. All about the back bacon and beer.
Canada, you're all right. I mean.
America's hat. Hey, you guys hear what he's doing now? No. What Dave Thomas is up to now? This one blew my mind. He's been a writer on the TV show Bones.
What?
And then when he finished with, he did 2 years on Bones. And then when he finished with that, he moved over to The Blacklist.
So he's the one that makes those shows kind of funny.
I guess. Because
I've seen like a couple of episodes of both of those. And there's, you know, some like okay humor in there. So he must be the one funny guy.
Either he's making it funny or he's exploring some other stuff. But the other show was The Blacklist. I don't know if that show is funny at all.
Yeah, I've seen an episode or two, and I don't remember much, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Sorry,
he shows
Dave.
Up.
Yeah. Let's have that segment. Sorry, Dave.
He shows up on Comedy Bang Bang from time to time, playing Scott Aukerman's dad. Also, he did, and in 2009, there was one more Bob and Doug animated TV show. It ran for 4 episodes, and he did the voice of Doug. And although Rick Moranis, you know, he's pretty much retired at this point, and so they brought in Dave Coulier to do the voice of Bob.
Have you ever listened to it?
I have not. Is it? How is it?
I had an obsession. It's a little rough.
All right, so we did what he's up to now. We pretty much covered the career of Dave Thomas. We feel good about it?
Absolutely.
No, I do not. I got to say, he's phenomenal in Rat Race.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
He's just kind of like, he's almost like, I equate his character in that to sort of the Philip Seymour Hoffman character in The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
And I think Rat Race is super underrated. I think it's a phenomenal, hilarious movie. And Dave is great in that.
I gotta revisit that movie.
That's a classic.
Dude, I watch it like once a year, and I love Lovitz in that. His whole character arc with like ending up driving Hitler's car, all of that, it's phenomenal. It's so good.
That is pretty spectacular.
Look, Mommy, I'm Mrs. Hitler. And their daughter is in the back seat just like posing. And they're a Jewish family, in case you haven't seen the movie. It's awesome. Somehow a Jewish family ends up driving Hitler's Mercedes.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. So, should we put a cap on this and move on to? Is there more, or are we good?
I got one other one.
Bring it.
I definitely. So, if you ever get a chance, it's not even just the movie. So Brother Bear, what you need to do if you ever get a chance, listen to the audio commentary, and it's him and Dave. It's him and Rick Moranis doing Doug and Bob as the characters watching Brother Bear with the characters in the movie. It's the funniest thing ever.
That's remarkable. I had no idea, dude. That's great.
I just got chills.
It's really, really good. I mean, it's so much better than the movie. I mean, and it's kid friendly, totally. And like, you know, Doug will walk out of the room and like the bear will be changing, you know, the kid will be changing a bear. And he goes, remember that guy who was a bear? Keyword was. Oh, look. Yeah, it's brilliant stuff. If you ever get a chance, it's awesome.
Okay. So to wrap out this whole tribute to Dave Thomas, we have a game that I came up with called Dave Thomas or Dave Thomas.
Ooh.
Oh, dude. Seriously?
This is brilliant.
Yes.
And actually, let me do that one more time because I may throw some echo on that. All right. So this is called Dave Thomas.
Dave, Thomas.
No, I'm going to go in post. Post. Oh, you do echo. All right. This game is called.
Yes.
This game is called Dave Thomas.
Dave, Thomas.
No, I thought you were going to split it up. That echo sucks.
All right. This game is called. Dave. No, that doesn't work. All right, fuck it. It's called Dave Thomas or Dave Thomas. Okay, so I'm going to let you guys can discuss it amongst yourselves, and you'll submit your vote. And if the answer is the Wendy's Dave Thomas, you'll hear this clip from the Pink Panther.
You would like to buy a hamburger.
Or if the answer is Dave Thomas SCTV, you will hear this sound clip.
This is the best game in the fucking world.
This is the greatest game I've ever heard of.
Dude, this is going to sweep the nation by storm.
All right, here we go. Dave Thomas was born in 1932 to a young unmarried woman he never knew.
That's got to be Burger Thomas, right?
Yep. Burger Thomas. It's got to be Burger Thomas.
You would like to buy a hamburger.
Yeah! Okay, oh, holy shit. The only thing that sucks is, like, I want to high-five you right now, Ryan, because we fucking rule.
Woo! Virtual high-five. Yeah!
Yes!
Okay, number two. Dave Thomas started his career as a copywriter at ad agency McCann Erickson. Dave became the head writer of the Coca-Cola account.
SCTV.
Yeah, I think that's probably Dave Thomas. Like, the SCTV Thomas. Yeah! We're fucking crushing this game.
You guys are 2 for 2.
I can't wait until he throws in like a weird one, like Dave Thomas loves feet. But only Asian men feet. Like, that's the one where we're going to be like, oh, man, I don't know. Which one is that? And how does he know this?
Dave Thomas has a superfluous nipple. In 1994, Dave Thomas made a cameo as himself in the TV movie Bionic Ever After, which was a reunion TV show based on the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman.
It's a CTV.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
I know that. I know it is.
You would like to buy a ham burger.
Wendy's Dave Thomas showed up on the Bionic Ever After.
Oh, man. Why? Because that went out to everybody. Not everybody has Wendy's. What the fuck is wrong with you, Bionic Ever After people? Like, only like 19 states have a fucking Wendy's. Wendy's isn't even nationwide, let alone like country. Oh, that is nuts. That's nuts.
You see, the first two were gimmies. Now it starts to get a little tricky.
Yeah, you got me there.
Dave Thomas has 4 daughters.
SCTV.
It's got to be SCTV, because doesn't Dave Thomas, Wendy's guy, only have one? Wendy?
I believe so.
He could have more, dude. I don't know. I'm going with you. I'm going Dave Thomas on this, just because I trust you, bro. If you fuck me over on this, it's over.
I know. Yeah. It's fair. We'll separate ways.
No, but you got to specify. You can't go, I vote Dave Thomas.
He's going with me.
We'll find you one day.
All right. Answer?
You would like to buy a ham burger.
Oh, that was me.
Dave Thomas has 4 daughters, Melinda, Pam, Lori, and Molly. The nickname for Melinda is Wendy.
Holy shit. Fuck Wendy's Dave Thomas so hard. I don't even blame you for that one, Ryan. This guy is a maniac. Like, how do you call your daughter Wendy? How do you have 4 daughters and then just name a restaurant after one of them? This guy's a motherfucker.
Not even their first name, just the nickname.
He's a motherfucker. I hate Wendy's Dave Thomas. He's the worst. Burn in hell. I hope we can get SCTV Dave Thomas on here, and he is equally as passionate about his hate for Wendy's Dave Thomas. It's like, look at this motherfucker. He's ruined my fucking life. I could have been John Candy, goddammit. I'm likable. I'm lovable.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, number 5. In the mid-1960s, Dave Thomas met Colonel Harlan Sanders and suggested to him that Sanders should appear in all the KFC commercials.
Oh, that could be either one.
Now, I'm going Dave Thomas from Wendy's on this because I think he wrote a book called The Colonel Changed My Life or something to that effect.
Okay. I'm going to go with you here because he was in his own commercials as well, so maybe that was something he talked him into. I believe you're right. I'm going with it.
You're right. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Wendy's Dave.
Yep, Wendy's Dave.
You would like to buy
Yes!
burger.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever been stoked for, by the way.
Right.
All right, we got one more. Dave Thomas has a brother, Ian Thomas, who is a singer-songwriter.
Oh, that is definitely SCTV.
Yes!
Because you wrote a paper about him, so you knew that one.
Yeah. Well, I should have done better earlier, too, but I did all right. I did all right there.
You guys did all right. I threw a couple curveballs into there. Couldn't make it too easy.
I did. Oh. Fuck you. It's your fault, bro. No, that was super fun. I'm actually kind of proud of how well we did.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, man. So with that, let's say goodbye to Dave Thomas and move on into our Dave of the Week.
It's time to learn the days of the week. It's time to learn the days of the week. It's time to learn the days of the week.
It's time to learn the days of the week. They're just in my head now.
Okay, so the way that this segment is run, Octopus Caveman has a Dave that he found on Twitter. I have a Dave that I found on Twitter. And we're going to try to plea our case to the judge, Ryan, as to who has the better Twitter Dave. And then whoever is the winner will become our Dave of the Week. And we will ask you, the listener, to follow, retweet, and favorite everything this guy tweets for the next week. Just bombard this guy with love.
Bombard him with Borat quotes, Wayne's World quotes, and Strange Brew quotes,
Adam Sandler quotes.
Yes, exactly.
Just, you know, Canada in general. You know.
So far on this game, I believe you're up 2-0. I know Josh and Melissa gave me a pity F the last one and gave me the point. But let's be real. You won the last one, hands down. You blew me out of the water.
All right. So I got a Dave. I've got a comedy Dave. And I think people should support him. Some people might know him. It's Dave Landau, at Landau Dave, LANDAU Dave. And if you don't know how to spell Dave and you're listening to the Dave podcast, that means you probably don't know how to operate Twitter, so best of luck in life. He's a Detroit comic. He was on Last Comic Standing, and he is hilarious and fun. So let me see if I can find some tweets here. All right, so here's a tweet from him. The last 9/11 rescue dog has died at 16. Conspiracy theorists everywhere believe the government has killed him.
All right.
It's okay. It's okay,
it's
right?
It's all
right. Maybe if Bon Jovi really had the power to run and turn back time, he wouldn't have signed on to do DirecTV commercials. Richard Simmons was hospitalized for bizarre conduct. Friends had him admitted after they found him in his home wearing men's clothes. Matt Damon lived out a Will Hunting dream. He stopped by MIT and beat up some smack kids. I try to assume most people are intelligent, but then I remember there are 3 Godfather movies and 7 Fast and Furious movies. That's the winner right there.
Wow. All
right. So at Landau Dave, LANDAU Dave. Right. That's my Dave.
That's some good competition, man. I got I'm following at Dave Solinger. Super Dave Solinger is how he goes on Twitter. And some of the tweets that Super Dave is putting out, he said that someone in a meeting just said my key goals, but all I heard was my kegels.
My kegels?
Kegels.
Nice.
If the Little Mermaid was really prepared for life change and wanted to be part of our world, she wouldn't forget the word feet.
That's a fucking brilliant observation, right?
That's right. I might say long time no speak out loud in my normal voice, but I'm thinking it in a Native American voice.
Good. I mean, it'd be better if you said a Vincent Price voice. Long time no speak.
All right. And here's my capper from Super Dave. I taught a titty tat. I did see a titty tat.
Oh. That's man, cool. That's some tough stuff there.
Okay, you know what? I got one more. I'm going to put it over the top. Here's a tweet from Super Dave. Girl, you remind me of Chinese food because dim sum titties.
Okay, there's your winner.
Yep, you just fucking face jam that shit. You dunked it. You just fucking dunked it in my face while I cried, bro. You shattered the backboard. Like, it was like a from the free throw line Jordan dunk. Exploding the backboard all over my disappointed face.
I'm using that, by the way, dim sum titties.
Oh, that's great. I'm sorry, Dave Morrow, but dim sum titties wins.
Dave Solinger. So everyone go follow at Dave Solinger, spelled S-O-L-D-I-N-G-E-R. We'll also have it over at davepodcast.com at the top right of the page. You'll be able to find him there, too. He is our Dave of the Week. Whew.
Wow.
I lost my first Dave of the Week. I'm mortified.
That was a sleeper, man. He had the tweet to win.
He did. I'm gonna commit seppuku later.
I couldn't get shut out, man. I had to put a point on the board.
You fucking crushed it, and that is a killer Dave, and I hope everybody follows him. He's the best.
Super Dave crushed it. He says, all your iPhone concert pics look the same, but seriously, I hope you had a good time at the really bright pink blurry light show.
Oh man. That guy fucking just put me in the graveyard and pissed on my grave. That's how much he fucking shut me down. He won me so hard, it's ridiculous.
Oh, he is a Super Dave. All right, so that's what we have for Dave of the Week.
We just learned the days of the week.
Nice. Ryan, buddy, you wanna tell the people, the good people out there, a little bit more about the Mr. BS Show?
Yes. So, Mr. BS Show, we're three friends who love to shit on each other and try to do it funnily sometimes. Not successfully most of the time, but we try hard. No, we enjoy it. We have fun, guys. And then you definitely, always go to the highoutpod.net to check out all the different shows on our network, and especially the Rebel Scum PC. That's the Twitter handle there for the Rebel Scum Report. Love that show there, guys. You can catch me, as Elgar Orc. Yeah, come on, check us out.
And where can they find you on Twitter?
At PotatoPunches71.
All right, so that'll do it for another episode of Dave. If you want to find us over on Twitter, you can find us at Dave Podcast. You could also follow me over at Green Korean One. You could follow Octopus Caveman at Octopus Caveman. Next week, looks like we have... we're doing a Star Trek episode, and we're going to have your buddies from the podcast on the Edge of Tomorrow.
I am fired up for the new Star Trek. I love it. It's phenomenal looking. I just a little worried, but
So we got that next week. All right, buddy Ryan, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
You can check out our website, davepodcast.com, and if you feel the need to shoot us an email, you can email us over at dave@davepodcast.com. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
And like sand through the hourglass, these are the Daves of our lives.
Guys, listen to the Mr. BS Show. It's fucking hilarious. They're the best.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
Now these are the Daves.